folks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more. At 419-PT-LOVE-4.
You crazy pork.
Hello, Porkette.
Porkette? Is that like Smurfette?
Well, do you say pork in the replacing many verbs and nouns with pork?
Yes, all the time. All the porking time, Mike! You should know me by
then
now.
Then you are Porkette.
Oh, wow. What an honor. I've always wanted to be Porkette and run around in a little white hat. And, you know, I've heard some people say about the Free State Project, you know, like, it's kind of similar to the Smurfs in some ways.
Who's Gilgamesh? The state.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, by the way, welcome to Pork Therapy.
Yeah. Oh, we've been talking for a minute and we didn't even say that. Welcome to Pork Therapy. I am Stephanie.
And I am Mike.
Actually, I am Porkette.
And I am Papa Smurf.
Papa Pork.
Papa Pork.
Boy, that's a dubious title if I ever heard of.
And also, I wouldn't want to be Papa Smurf. Papa Pork. Was there like some kind of computer geeky behind the scenes Smurf?
I don't know. Not that I know of, but we could invent one.
Yeah, I am.
I think the analogy kind of breaks down after a while.
Like, and we've expended that while.
Yeah, oh, we expended it long ago. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We've had a large spike in our listenership.
Thank you.
I guess.
Yes.
Well, we've had a large spike in our feed stats. I don't know about our listenership. They might just be looking at our beautiful mugs and not actually listening to the show. But,
or maybe one person is downloading the episode 200 times a day or something.
That would be very interesting.
Very dedicated listener.
Well, actually, I don't know about dedicated so much as stalkerly.
OCD.
Yeah. It always could be a possibility, but if that's the case, and if you're downloading Pork Therapy 200 times a day, well...
Thank you, I guess.
I was going to say you might need some professional help, but...
Yeah, you might need some therapy. And not ours.
More than we could give you. Anyway, occasionally we get the question on Pork Therapy that really, really gets at the essence of why we do this program for you all. And before we say what that question is, we should just let you know you can visit our website at porktherapy.com. That's porctherapy.com. And we are also heard on the Liberty Radio Network. So in case you're listening there, you can check us out at our website. You can also...
What else can they do on our website?
I think they can hear our beautiful theme song from Hannah.
They can do that.
And they can also join our female list, right?
They can do that.
It's
do a whole
otherwise
bunch
known
of
as our male
there.
List, but we didn't want to be, you know, we wanted to be, like, not paternalistic, so we called it our
paternalistic.
Female.
Paternalistic?
I don't know, Mike. I just thought it was kind of funny to call it our female list.
But female list is fine, but it's not really paternalistic.
Well, maybe the word I was looking for was patriarchal, but anyway,
yes.
That's neither here nor there. You're totally right. It's I don't know why I said that. Anyway, so if you're listening on one of the multitudinous podcast networks that were replayed on, you can actually visit our website, porktherapy.com, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you will be informed, you'll be in the know when we release a new episode. So, as we mentioned before, we do this show for a number of reasons, and the most, you know, we want to be entertaining, we want to make an interesting show for you all to listen to, but one of the most important reasons that we do this show is that we think that relationships are crucial, vital for a free society, right, Mike?
They're actually, in my opinion, they're vital for any society, because if people aren't communicating, or at least not communicating healthily, then there is nothing. If they're not communicating, you have a bunch of individuals running around not interacting with others. And if they're communicating poorly,
yeah, that's true.
Then they're not getting what they want in trade. They're not earning. They're not progressing. They're not growing. They're not learning. They're not helping.
They're not happy. They're not having relationships,
right.
Friendships, family relationships.
The better and healthier the communication, the relationships, the better everything
in life
that is founded on that. Yes. And everything is founded on a relationship.
Absolutely. And, you know, we see a lot of examples of poor communication leading to conflict or leading to bad things happening in people's lives. And our goal is to kind of help people work out their problems on their own in the context of how they would be working out their problems in a voluntary society.
And that's, I don't think it's fair to say that in a free society,
people would work them out on their own.
No.
No, maybe not. They wouldn't, but
I don't think it's fair to say in a free society that there won't be conflicts with people communicating healthy. There won't be conflicts. No,
sure.
There will be. There will just be fewer of them, and they will be more situational.
Sure.
Than due to bad or poor or missing communication.
And probably dealt with more equitably, you know.
That's true.
Given the fact that
more justly, more quickly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking, for instance, of the fact that, you know, some people are so non-confrontational that they will call the cops on their neighbors when the neighbor is playing music too loud or something like that. I think we're going to talk about something like that in an upcoming show. But but in this show, we have a question about relating with others, I guess, in a free society, about people skills. So should we jump into the question?
Yes, let's.
Okay, so the question was from an anonymous listener. Why do so many liberty-minded folks have such poor people skills? I'm not the first to note this, and I know you guys know plenty of people who will back me up on this. And I even admit I'm certainly not a poster child for how to win friends and influence people, a running joke between me and another longtime FSPer, but I think this is symptomatic of a majority of porcupines, and I wonder why.
Hang on. I'm going to interrupt to let listeners know that an FSPer is a Free State Project member, and a porcupine is, our nickname for our Free State Project member.
Yeah, it's
and the Free State Project is merely a movement to get liberty lovers to move to one geographic area, namely New Hampshire. And if you want to learn more, go to freestateproject.org.
Yes, and Mike and I are both Free State Project participants, right?
We're the porks.
Yes. Mike likes to say that he moved here and now he has nothing to do with the Free State Project.
Yeah, I mean, the Free State Project, its stated purpose is to get people to move here for liberty, or get liberty lovers to move here, and I did.
And then
now
once
that I moved
here,
what do I have to do with Free State Project? Nothing. So I am civilly disobedient, and I am an activist for liberty. That's my choice.
Right, but that's for liberty. That's
not
necessarily.
The Free State Project has time and again declined to take a stand on positions about liberty or about anything, and they won't. I'm serious. It's not their position. They refuse to take a position. They just say, we want liberty livers to move here. They don't say, it would be better for liberty if this law was passed or if this person did that. They won't do that.
Yeah, they do. They do. That's true, Mike.
So they
have a big tent approach, basically.
Yes.
Would you say that's accurate?
I would say, yeah, but I would say mine's more accurate. They're a vehicle. They're a bus. They're a bus to get people
They're
here, and that's all. When you get off the bus, you have nothing to do with that bus anymore. You're there, and you do your own thing.
That's true. That's true.
Okay.
I would add that I moved here for the Free State Project, and I'm a liberty activist, but I don't have nothing to do with it because I actively try to get people to sign up for the Free State Project and move here if they're liberty lovers but don't yet live in New Hampshire.
Right, and that goes along with what I'm saying. I mean,
oh,
it's
yeah.
not like the Free State Project requires you to do that.
Oh, no.
Or to try and
no way.
Get more. It's not like a network marketing or sideways marketing or whatever where you once you move here, you have to get 10 others to move here and then you're rich. No. Once you moved here for the Free State Project, you're done with them. But you said, you know what, now that I'm here, I'm going to voluntarily work with them and try and get more people here.
That's right.
Okay. So I've interrupted us long enough.
No, you didn't. I perpetuated that interruption, Mike. I think, but it's a very important point nonetheless. So, okay, getting back to the question, the first part of his question was, you know, why do so many liberty-minded folks have such poor people skills? And then the second part of his question gets into some reasons that he speculates might be the cause of these poor people skills. And he says, is it the individualist attitude unwilling to bend toward others? Is it the anti-authoritarian nature seeing anything normal as binding and tight? Is it just lack of social adjustment? Is it lack of a good community and always being an outsider? Will New Hampshire cure that? Will single guys move and discover how to date and get married, or will we have a ever-growing group of horny, single, mostly hetero guys forever? Not to mention a few crazy single women just to be fair.
I don't like those last two sentences, but we'll talk about
this
last.
The first time I read this question, I thought, man, this is a pretty tough question. And not tough as in difficult to answer, tough as in critical.
Critical.
Don't you think, Mike?
I totally do.
Not that there's anything wrong with, you know, constructive criticism, of course. And I think part of, you know, part of getting along with others is being able to take constructive criticism. But man, you know, when he starts talking about, will single guys ever figure out how to date and get married? I mean, that irked me a little bit because yeah, it's like, what if they don't want to get married?
That has,
I mean,
in my opinion, okay, I was going to say that has nothing to do with people skills, but I realized that his question isn't this simple. What are good people skills?
Right. And that was what we discussed. We actually tried to record an episode about this, but then we realized that we actually weren't completely clear on what the listener was defining as poor people skills. So we ended up asking him for some clarification. And so we'd like to read a little bit more of that clarification now. Okay, so first of all, we said, when you refer to liberty-minded folks, are you talking about free staters that are currently here in New Hampshire or just liberty-minded people in general? And so he says, even though he refers to FSPers in the first part of his question, he says he's referring to liberty-minded people in general. And he says, if you look at libertarian circles, for example, it's much the same. New Hampshire is just a microcosm.
Okay, so and that does help because the first time I interpreted his question differently, meaning specific porcupines, not all porcupines and not liberty-minded people in general. So he means liberty-minded people in general. Okay.
Right. And the second clarification that we asked for gets into your first interpretation of the question, Mike. So the first time we read this question, we thought it was possible that this question asker was referring to the outside the system type of activists in New Hampshire. And so we said, you know, we're unsure whether or not this question about liberty activists having poor people skills may have been directed at the outside the system type activists in New Hampshire and or referencing their behavior, even though the question didn't say that directly. Can you clarify this for us?
And he said,
and his answer doesn't really clarify it.
But it doesn't. He said, I didn't specifically include that, but certainly I can see how you might go there.
Grin.
Let's be clear. Yeah, grin. Let's be clear. As they learned in Chicago in 68, never throw crap at an armed man. One would think you wouldn't need to be told that was a bad idea, but they did it anyway. Now, I'd have to say to that, bad idea depending on your goal. Maybe your goal is different than theirs. I don't really know what he's talking about, and I think throwing crap at people is a bad idea, but what if their goal was to get shot by a guard and they threw shit at that guard? They're probably going to accomplish it, and it's a good idea. You know what I mean?
I don't know why anyone's goal would be to get shot, but anyway.
What if their goal was to cause a riot and get people, literally rioting in the streets because martial law was there and they're trying to get the guards' guns away from them or something. Not the guards, the army's guns away from them or, you know, some crazy...
It just seems like a ridiculous scenario. It's not even... I don't know.
Well,
but
maybe,
anyway,
maybe I
on.
Need to be told what throwing crap at an armed man means. But I'm thinking, my point, even if I don't know what the crap and the armed man was about, my point is, how can something be a bad idea? How can you say something's a bad idea if you don't know what their goal is and what they're trying to accomplish? You know, taking piano lessons, is that a bad idea?
No.
No? What if I wanted to learn how to play trombone?
Sure,
that's a horrible idea to pay for piano lessons. So what is
some people might say that by learning how to play the piano, you learn how to play all other instruments.
I would say
like
they're full
basic...
of crap because I played them both and they're nothing the same. I mean, you do learn about music, but that's my point. Not my point. So his last sentence in response to this was, I think the fallout from bad protests is about the lack of people skills, ability to empathize with normal folks, and thus an inability to see when something is a bad idea. Now, that is incredibly vague to me. The fallout from bad protests. What's a bad protest? Something that you don't like? Something that you like but wouldn't participate in? Something that doesn't accomplish its goal even if you were participating? Okay, and then he says that lack people skills. Well, I still don't know what he means by people skills,
yeah,
but we'll get to that in a minute.
It doesn't really define.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And then he says the ability to empathize with normal folks. Well, what are normal folks? Is it everyone except those in the protest? Is it everyone who agrees with you and not the protester? What is normal? And last, and thus an ability to see when something is a bad idea. Well, again, what is a bad idea? What are they trying to accomplish? Have you empathized that much?
It's bad according to the question asker,
right.
But we don't know. We're not in his mind, so we don't know exactly what he means. Anyway.
That's true, and I would like to point out he is not in their mind and not making an attempt to
and
be
so
to find out
he...
whether it's a good or bad idea.
Yeah, how can he judge whether it's good or bad? Yeah,
okay.
I see your point.
And then our third request for clarification, I think, is the most important, right?
Right. So we said third and probably most importantly, what are some more specific examples of what you consider poor people skills? Did you mean that some freedom people have poor communication skills or the fact that many early mover FSPers are single and thus must not be able to relate to people or else they would have significant others? Are you referring to a specific type of activism that some Free Staters engage in as a form of poor people skills? Or were you perhaps referring to personal behaviors of specific people? For example, things like poor hygiene, reclusiveness, intolerance or bigotry, inability to hold down a job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so he responded,
all of the above are certainly on target. I think they are all symptoms of something bigger, which is where I was going with the question. But certainly addressing each of these would be interesting, and perhaps only after discussing, you'll see a pattern of why. So he doesn't really answer. He does say all of those could be examples.
Mike, he wants us to come to the answer ourselves. He's trusting us in our infinite wisdom.
He's apparently wants us to come to the question ourselves. So he's asked, what is poor people skills?
He just wants to hear a discussion.
And won't clarify what is poor people skills. He does admit that the examples that he gave and that we asked about are examples of poor people skills.
But that's not, he says basically, you know, all of our examples could be included in poor people skills, but maybe his definition of poor people skills isn't limited to what we suggested.
Right. Or maybe it's weighted like poor hygiene is 90% of what I consider poor people skills and poor communication is 10%. And I would think the backwards or the 50-50 or something like that.
Well, I guess we just have to, you know, sort of so, make some assumptions and go with those.
So let's define what we're going to talk about as poor people skills.
Okay.
Now, keep in mind, he is asking about liberty activists, right?
Sure. Yeah, I think probably what I would think of
liberty-minded folks
when
in general.
Somebody says poor people skills is not basically caring what other people think of you. And sometimes, in my personal opinion, sometimes it can be a good thing not to care what other people think of you.
Okay,
and
I agree.
Sometimes it can be a detriment.
Okay, then we need to be more specific, right?
Sure.
When is it sometimes good people skills and sometimes bad? Also, I'm not even sure I agree with the definition. Why is it bad to care or to not care what someone thinks of you?
Bad as in harmful to you. Like, if you live in a small town, let's say, like Grafton or some other small towns that are in New Hampshire, and you get to know all your neighbors, but you act inconsiderately towards them.
Okay.
And by inconsiderately, I mean, like, you know, you...
Litter on their front yard when you drive by.
Yeah, you throw your cigarettes on their front lawn every day as you're driving by. That's not an unrealistic example. And you say, well, I should be able to do that because it should, you know...
Because why?
Because I'm not hurting anyone. I'm just throwing, you know, I guess you're damaging their property. Maybe it's a bad example.
Well, I don't think it's a bad example. I think we're getting off on tangents because what would be poor people skills there is the lack of respect for private property or the lack of respect for someone. But is it poor people skills to not care what someone thinks? I think it's the actions that would be the poor people skills. Like
right now, the listeners
don't know what I think of them. I know some of our listeners, and I could be thinking very specific thoughts about them.
I love you.
But it doesn't matter what I think in terms of poor people skills. It matters of what I do and say, at least what I say as far as a podcast is concerned. In other words, there are no thought police. What difference does it matter what you think?
Because I think how you view the way other people, how you view other people's opinions of you affects how you treat them.
Okay, then the treating is the good or poor people skills, not the thinking.
But it's also easier. Semantic. You know, it's easier to be polite and have relationships with people if you genuinely care what they think.
Okay, maybe it's easier.
Than it is if you don't give a crap what they think about you.
Okay, so maybe that's a good tip. If you want to behave respectfully and kindly with other people, then actually want it. Actually want that instead of just pretending to be polite and respectful when you really hate them. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said for not being fake.
Right.
Right?
Okay, I'm confused, but I just think we're...
Yeah, I think we're kind of rambling. Here's what I think about this whole question of poor people skills. I think that he says, you know, all of these things that we listed, poor hygiene, reclusiveness, rudeness, inability to find gainful employment, all kinds of things like that. He says he thinks that those are all symptoms of something bigger. And I kind of agree, and here are my thoughts about that. One is that when you reject the notion that government is good, government is there to help you, government is this benevolent organization of people that are just watching out for you for your own good. And when you realize that that's really a ruse, you know, that actually, no, you're the best person to make decisions for how you should run your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're capable of taking care of yourself and you're a big boy and you don't want some authoritarian central planner interfering with your business and interfering with your personal life,
mm-hmm.
and telling you, micromanaging everything you do. When you reject that idea that government is good, you're rejecting a major social norm because most people do
accept
think
it.
That that's good,
okay.
You know, or at least they don't question it, right? It's the prevailing idea that, you know, we need government. At least most people think government is
a necessary evil.
Yeah, I don't know if most people think it's good, but they at least think it's a necessary evil,
mm-hmm.
right?
And it's not, by the way.
No, it's not. Absolutely not.
But most people think it. So you're thinking now.
And so when you reject that idea, you're pushing aside this huge social norm. And I think that when you reject one major social norm, it becomes much easier to reject other social norms, like, for instance, marriage, or that you have to look a certain way in your appearance,
or monogamy,
or or heterosexuality, or
right.
other things, you know, along, or that you have to have a certain level of income, or
so. Then, is your point then that, for the purpose of this discussion, the definition of poor people skills is not following social norms?
I think that's probably part of it. I mean, because if you were someone who had never really, you know, questioned the system or whatever. Let's just say that you're a quote-unquote normal person going about your life. I mean, you know.
You're a person going about your life and you haven't had this discussion yet.
Yes, yeah. And you haven't had that realization. You've never really thought about government. You probably went to government school. You know, you've never really questioned any of that stuff about government being necessary and good and right.
And if you went to government school, maybe you can even read. Anyway, go on.
Maybe. We don't know about that. But if you're one of those people and all of a sudden you see Mike Barsky walking down the street and he's got this tattoo of a porcupine with a little voluntarist V, and, you know, he's walking down the street with his two girlfriends and he's, you know, I'm using kind of a ridiculous example, but he's walking around doing civil disobedience and smoking a big doobie and out in public, and his girlfriend's breasts are, you know, hanging out in the air, and, you know, that all of a sudden is like, whoa, you know, I can't process this all because it's such
an
overload.
It's too many slaps in the face of everything that I've considered normal my whole life.
Yes, exactly. And so I could see how some people would consider that, perhaps poor people skills.
Okay.
Because you're basically bucking all these social norms that most people have never even considered questioning, and then you're doing it all at once, basically. And I think everyone has their own sort of threshold, right? If you say to some people, I don't know, I think people are advanced to different degrees in their thinking and advancing their radical ideas of
mm-hmm.
liberty. You know, some people say, okay.
Some people know their philosophy so well, they no longer explain it, they just live it.
Yes, that's true.
Is that what you mean?
Well, it ties into what I meant, but it wasn't exactly what
okay.
I meant. Some people are so far advanced in their ideas of liberty that they would not even think twice about something like, you know, I don't know, smoking a joint in public. Yes, it's wrong to harass someone doing that because they're peacefully putting something in their own body. Who cares? Nobody should have a problem with it, right?
Right.
But maybe someone who isn't so far advanced in their radical ideas of liberty might say something like, well, you know, it's going too far, too fast. We shouldn't be doing that. You know, you should be talking to people and explaining why before you do these things.
Okay, well, I disagree that that is a good definition of poor people skills, but let's use that as our definition. So essentially,
okay. How would you define
flaunting the...
bucking social norms.
Bucking social norms. Flaunting the bucking of social norms. Because if you buck them in privacy of your home, then that's not bad people skills, right? So
it's always fun to buck in the privacy of your
home.
I'm just kidding, Mike.
That's bucking ridiculous. Okay, so that's our working definition.
Okay.
Flaunting the bucking of social norms. Okay. If that is poor people skills, why is that so bad? Why is it so bad to have poor people skills? The question. This isn't the question asker's sure. question. This is mine.
I don't think that's bad. And in fact, I think
it's contextual.
The gay guys in the 1950s who walked down the street holding hands were taking a huge risk because
they were bucking quite a social norm.
99% of the people out there who were, straight, identified, and had never seen two men holding hands, or maybe closeted or whatever. No, I'm saying 99% of the straight people would see them and never even, have thought about homosexuality before, and would see them and probably get mad, right?
Gay bashing? Of course they got mad.
Yeah, they get mad. They might even get violent. I mean, and we see sort of the same reaction when people started to do things like
so that's why I think
smoke marijuana in public.
That's why I think poor people skills, if this is our working definition, is only contextually bad. It depends on your goal, right? That's what I was saying in the very beginning.
Yeah, and it depends on your peers, too.
Well, I suppose it depends on everything around
because
you.
Because I don't think, have a group of...
Not just your peers, but the people around you in your environment, in your society, in your immediate society.
Yeah, but I'm saying, if you have a group of people and you're surrounded by people who are very similar in their thinking to you, in that, maybe they all agree that, they don't agree with, state marriage as a social meme that they accept... It's not poor people skills to walk around and say bad things about marriage and not be married, right? But if you're with a group of people who value state marriage as the highest thing, and it's so important to them, it's a huge part of their lives, and they...
But that's the question asker's question. And I think we've said that for our discussion, yes, that would be poor people skills to flaunt non-monogamy or non-marriage to a person who thinks that it's a high priority, a high value, right? It's a social norm. Okay. My question is, why is that bad? I'm serious. I only think it's sometimes bad. It depends on your goal. What if you think that marriage is unhealthy for people? I'm not saying I believe this. What if you think, though, that marriage is unhealthy way to have a relationship, especially with state marriages, with government involved, and it's bad for people. It creates worse relationships, blah, 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 blah. And so you wanted to wake people up to this and have them think about other types of relationships and get emotional. Maybe it's a very good thing to have poor people skills, the way we've defined it, regarding marriage and flaunt non-married sex with multiple partners or whatever your style is.
Sure.
And get people angry and thinking and talking about it on TV shows and their newspapers and in their public squares and at the barbershop. And maybe that is an excellent thing and not a bad thing.
As long as you don't mind potential backlash that
comes
from
and maybe you've got to be responsible for your actions. Yeah. Absolutely. But why is that good or bad? It's up to your goals, right? It depends on your goals.
I think it does depend on your goals. But just to play devil's advocate here, maybe let's say that you did disagree with the social meme of marriage, of government state marriage. You could choose a different tactic. You could say write about it. You could write a book about it. You could have a podcast about it. You could talk to people.
Yes, but that's not my point. Absolutely, you could, and those would probably be very effective for certain audiences.
Or you could just live it, but do it quietly.
You could do.
And then you could say, "Hey, my partner and I have been together for 20 years, we've never had a state marriage."
You could also get a pet parrot and teach it to say certain phrases that are anti-government marriage, and it only says it to your Jewish friends when you have them over for dinner on Wednesday. You can do anything, and some of them will be more effective than others, but that's not my point. My point is, it's good or bad depending on your desired goals, right?
Sure. Yeah, I...
Okay, that's my whole point.
Okay.
So I think the listener asked, why do so many liberty-minded people have poor people skills? And by that definition, I guess the reason depends on the person. Maybe some of them, because like you said, once you've given up a paradigm, a significant paradigm, it's easier to give up others. And then other reasons for other people might be that they are so used to being the black sheep that they just continue to like that lifestyle because, when they were young, they rebelled against authority and now they, they like that feeling. Another reason for some people might be, how would you defend poor hygiene? I don't know.
Well, here's how. Maybe. Not that I'm defending it. No, right. I don't like poor hygiene. But I think that poor hygiene is one of those things that I would say as an absolute, or a relatively more absolute, is...
That's a relative absolute. But I know what you mean.
I think more people would consider poor hygiene a bad people skill than would consider...
Now that,
you know,
not only do I agree with that, but I think that breaks more into my definition of what poor people skills are.
Okay. Because and what is your definition?
If I don't shower, if I shower once a month and hence I really stink, and then I want, and then I just want to have a conversation with someone, I am presenting such a horrific sense.
Yeah, nobody wants to talk to you if you smell bad.
They don't want to be near me.
Except over Skype.
Right, right. Hallelujah for technology.
Yeah.
And that goes back to reclusiveness, too, then. What? <'Cause it's> kind of, no, but if I'm presenting something that is painful or, I can't think of the word, disgusting to the senses, I mean, that a person actually can't stand to be near you and breathing, you know, breathing in your scent, or they might vomit, then that is a poor people skill in that you can't have a conversation with them. You can't get close to someone, right?
Right, but I think, just to play devil's advocate again,
yes,
some people might say that about someone who was just ugly, right? What if a person is well-groomed, well-showered, well-spoken, but they're ugly? And somebody says, well, this person's so ugly that I don't want to talk to them.
I want
to
vomit when I look at them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well then, I guess I'm confused then where you draw that line. Because in the case of someone not showering and having bacteria grow on them and they really stink, that's them doing something. But in the case of someone looking a certain way, that's just who they are, and someone else thinking they're ugly, that's not their fault. Where do you draw that line? Anyway, I guess we're going off on what I'm defining as poor people skills and not what we've decided the question askers.
I don't know. I think poor hygiene is something that you have control over or more control over than being ugly, right? Like, there's an expression, right?
That's what I mean.
There's an expression, you know, you can help being fat, you can't help being ugly, right?
Well...
Not that that's poor hygiene, but, like...
Yes, I understand the point, although
there are some things that you can control and some things you really can't control.
And I think you can only control being fat to a certain degree, but...
Yeah,
yes,
that's
yes,
probably
I
true.
I agree with you.
Yeah, but you can easily control how you dress, right?
Yeah, but... See,
well, I mean, not that you can always afford an Armani suit every day, but, you can look nice in your own way.
Well, in your own way, though. Like, the guys that walk around with their pants down to their thighs and their underwear sticking up to their belly button, I think that is ridiculous and annoying.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's poor people skills. I think that's what they consider the style.
Yeah.
That's good or whatever. That's enjoyable.
Well, maybe it's know your audience. I mean...
It could be that.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean...
Not that I think you
Let's say somebody was... walking around town with their underwear sticking up out of their pants like that,
mm-hmm.
and they got a citation from a cop because that has been known to happen. And they went in
places it's illegal, right?
Right. So these kids doing this, or this guy doing this with his pants up down, he goes into court because they're forcing him to, or they'll send him to jail. If he doesn't respect the system and doesn't respect being cited, doesn't respect the judge and doesn't respect any of it, I don't blame him for going to court wearing what he normally wears, his pants down and his underwear up. But if he but know your audience,
then that would be an act of civil disobedience if it was illegal,
and he
should
move to New Hampshire. But if know your
Come
audience,
to New Hampshire,
if instead
pull
you
your
wanted
pants
to
up.
Have better people skills and not distract the judge, who's probably closed-minded to new styles,
mm-hmm.
and get your point across that it's unjust of you to throw me in jail because I'm wearing pants differently than you, then maybe you'll wear clothes that he would consider normal.
Uh-huh.
Know your audience. Is that what you mean?
Yes, that's what I meant. Okay. And I mean, even people who don't care about social norms like that usually know what they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like most people would
know
not to go to court wearing their pants around their ankles. And,
ankles.
Right. Or their thighs or whatever. You know, that's hyperbolic.
That was hilarious, though.
Thank you.
I do want to comment on one more thing from the original question. Is that all right?
Yeah. I also have some more comments, but go ahead first.
Oh, if more comments on the same topic?
Yeah, on the same topic,
then keep going.
On the poor people skills.
Okay.
I think that one thing that I... So before I said that people who reject the social norm of government being good have an easier time rejecting other social norms, and that launched us into this whole discussion about not following social norms equals poor people skills,
mm-hmm.
which isn't necessarily the definition of poor people skills. I also think there's another explanation, and that is that if you really understand the ideas of liberty... you're probably pretty rare. And so you may I don't know if that comes from being an introverted person and then by virtue of the fact that you're an introvert, basically being more introspective and being more apt to think about things like government and question the status quo, or if it's because you've questioned the status quo that makes you an introvert, basic, like by virtue of the fact that nobody wants to hang out with you, right? It's sort of a chicken and egg thing.
Yep.
I don't know if I explained that very well, but I think there's sort of a correlation between critical thinking about social
I think it's almost things
that people take for granted and being introverted.
I think it's, well, as far as our working definition of poor people skills, I think it's almost restating the same thing, because critical thinking is not the social norm.
So that's true.
By our definition, it is poor people skills to think about things critically.
That's true.
If you act on it, and people will know.
Yeah, and
that's why I don't think this is an appropriate definition, but I think it's what the
It might be appropriate because, you know, one thing that you often hear status say is that why do you guys have to, you know, go against the grain all the time? Why can't you just go along to get along?
Yeah.
Like, in other words, don't question this stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? And people get so mad when you do question
mm-hmm.
it, right? Like, because they're getting mad because they're realizing something for the first time, like, hey, I've never thought about this stuff. What if these people are right?
Their worldview is challenged.
Right. What if what I've been thinking and doing my whole life is wrong or is hurting someone or mm-hmm. is, like, morally inappropriate?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
That's why people get mad when you question their status quo. Or maybe some people also don't like challenges to their authority, right?
Right. It depends on the person.
Sure. But anyway, that's
so
it.
I think we've covered it.
Did you want to say something about? Okay, Mike. You think that's it? I don't think we've really. First of all, I don't think we ever really understood the question very well. But
well, even asking for a clarification, we didn't get it.
Yeah.
We said, "What do you mean by poor people skills? Do you mean this? Do you mean A, B, C, or D?" And he said, "Well, any of those could work." Well, that's not clarification. So we kind of took our best guess as to what the definition of poor people skills is, and I think using that, we did answer why most liberty activists have poor people skills, and for each liberty-minded person, it could be a different reason, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I asked another question, and why is it good or bad, and I think it's contextual.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we covered it. You don't?
I'm left wanting a little bit.
I'm left wanting to know what he meant, but he didn't tell us when we asked for clarification.
Well, okay, before we close out, let's just say one last thing about communication skills.
Okay.
We asked him if what he meant by poor people skills was actually poor communication skills. And I think that, you know, that's another major reason that we do this show. I think that, you know, many of the liberty-oriented people I've met actually do have pretty good communication skills.
Most, I would say, but not all. I know some with horrible communication skills.
Oh, yeah, and you'll find people with poor communication skills anywhere
in
society, but I think on average, the fact that people who are interested in liberty have constantly had to practice talking about liberty to people, which is usually a foreign concept to everyone else,
mm-hmm.
right? They've had to practice this message of, well, here's how I'm going to persuade you that my view is right,
mm-hmm.
that government is not good, that this,
that your social norm needs to be challenged.
Right. They've had practice at that, and I think that does, to a certain extent, make them better communicators. Heck, there's even a book called Secrets of Libertarian Communication or Persuasion or something like that. And I think that there are a lot of people who are interested in bringing, once they hear the message of liberty, they want to bring others on board with it. And part of that is developing those communication skills.
Okay.
And so I think that does tend to sort of bring people up, right? Because they really want to communicate liberty, and so they learn to communicate in general, right?
Yes, I think maybe they learn via concerted effort, or maybe they learn trial by fire. But yes, I think you're right.
Yeah, and so maybe that's, you know, a positive aspect. I don't think that liberty-oriented people in general have poor communication skills, but again, that's a generalization. And that's another reason why we try to do this show, even though sometimes we're not the most succinct, which is a good part.
Sometimes?
Okay, all the time. Even though we're never, ever succinct. We do try to model examples of communication techniques.
Yeah.
You know, both with each other and with how we talk to our audience.
Yes, I agree.
And so Yeah, so that's part of our mission as well.
See, that's good communication skills.
Very good. I'm going to give you a tip, Mike. What would have made it a little bit better is if you had hit me at the same time as you said that.
Should I also put on a wife beater t-shirt?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Crack open a beer or two while you're
Well, give me turkey pot pie, woman.
Terrible. That's Mike, that's poor people skills. I can't associate with you. I'm going to ostracize you.
But is it
you.
Bad? Okay, that was.
Oi. Okay,
we've
talked quite enough for this episode, so we're going to say goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now.
If you are somehow still interested in listening to our ramblings, I mean show, you can visit our website at porktherapy.com, porktherapy.com.
And if you would like us to ramble on your particular thoughts, then please email us your question at questions@porktherapy.com.
Yes, and we'll do our best to... give you a succinct answer, but no promises.
We're gonna fail.
Our motto is take us with a grain of salt, right? Or one of our mottos.
Maybe it should be take us with a pound of salt now. And also, you could call in your question, area code 419-PT-LOVE-4, and record it, and we'll play it on a show.
Which is, if you... See, we,
if you
last
can't spell
time
your phone.
We pimped phonespell.org for people who didn't, you know, understand what 419-PT-LOVE-4, they don't have the touch-tone phones anymore, they can't... you know, figure out which numbers correspond to which letters. The actual phone number is 419-785-6834. That's 419-785-6834.
You sound like a telethon. Our phones are ringing now. All right. Ring. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, we better end this show because we got another listener call to get to.
Yeah, that's right. The line is endless. Thanks for listening.
Yes, thanks for listening. And if you have great communication skills... If you have
I thought
good,
we were going to end
good
the show without
people
this.
Skills. Well, you know, Mike.
Let's ask
okay,
him.
we're done.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it, Mike.
All right.
You
save it
so
for
upset.
Next episode.
See, I have consideration for your feelings.
That is excellent people skills. But is it good?
It's good. It's good in this case because you're not going to smack me and tell me to get you a sandwich. thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can meet you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more.